Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Congratulations, we're starting a new Masechta, Masechta Sanhedrin. Daf Beis Omer Aleph from the very, very top. This Mishnah that we're going to learn, as you'll notice, goes all the way over to the Omer Beis and is one of the longest Mishnayos in Shas. However, if you were to go and take out a Mishnayos, you'll see that, in fact, this Mishnah is broken down into 7 or 8 or 9 different Mishnayos. Why the publisher of the Gemara decided to condense all of them and merge them all together, I don't know. But just to give you an idea of how extensive this Mishnah is, we have to go all the way to Daf Yudches Yudtes in explaining the Mishnah. Yep, Yudches Amud Aleph is where we finish explaining this Mishnah. Normally a Mishnah, within a blot or two, we are on to the next Mishnah. Because of the length of this Mishnah, the next Mishnah is on Daf Yudtes, and in fact, that is already the second parak. I said Yudtes, it's probably Yudches.
Yudches,
thank you. Daf Yudches, the first parak ends, second parak begins, so the whole discussion of this Mishnah, the Gemara will discuss over the next 17, 18 blot. Okay, Sezukta Mishnah. Most of the Mishnah focuses on the number of dayanim that you need, the number of rabbinical judges that you need on a tribunal, on a bezdin, for various purposes. So we start off dinim mamonis b'shloisha. Dinim mamonis means if you have a dispute that involves money. Now obviously there could be many different disputes that involve money. So the Mishnah immediately says gezeilos v'chavolos b'shloisha. What are gezeilos v'chavolos? Gezeilos are thefts. Now, what is the definition of a theft? Don't confuse gezeilos with gnevos. Gnevos is typically something which is done at night, besaser, when it's nice and quiet and nobody knows, when it's really totally black. While gzeilos are done even in the public, where the gazlan is not afraid, and it refers to those gazlanim sometimes as listim mezuyim. Anyway, Rashi gives a couple of examples. What's a gazlan for our purposes? If you see the top line, gzeilos, Rashi. Koyver bepikodoin. In other words, you have a shoimer that's supposed to watch after pikodin, and instead of watching it, he sholach boyad. Sholach boyad means he took it to use for himself. He's a gazlan, because he had no right to go and use it for himself. He's just supposed to be a shomer. Leave it on the shelf, leave it in the closet, leave wherever he does. He's not supposed to touch it. And if he does touch it, he's called a gazlan. V'chein hachoytif. V'chein hachoytif miyad chaveroi. Make yourself comfortable. A person who takes it away from somebody's hands, have a gazlan. And we learn that from a pasuk in Shmuel, by Yigzal es a chanis miyad a mitzri. He stole the chanis. Chanis means a spear. He took it from the mitzri. Avalovalo shilem, Rashi in the second line, if a person borrowed money and he didn't pay back the loan, loy mikri gazlan. He's a bad guy, for sure. But he does not get the title gazlan. Why? To move alohitzir nitna. When he received the money as a halva, he had every right to spend every penny. That was the whole purpose of borrowing the funds in the first place. That he doesn't return the funds subsequently, that is considered to be, quote-unquote, a bad guy. But he's not called a gazlan. Gazlan means to go and take other person's monies without his permission. I took the other guy's pikodoin. That's my pikodoin. Why did you use it? Why did you take it? Well, I thought you wouldn't mind. What do you mean you thought you didn't mind? I especially left it with you because I thought you're an honest guy. You wouldn't touch it. You took it. Or someone who chops away the other person's chanis. Person's holding on. Person's wearing a watch. The other guy grabs it and pulls it off. Grabs a necklace. Whatever. Steals your wallet. Those are all called gazlan. But a loiva had a right to take the money that you gave him. That was the whole purpose of giving him the loan in the first place. So therefore, taking those funds and not paying them back, although he's a bad guy for not paying back, but he doesn't get the title gazlan. So Xavis is referring to a gazlan. Chavole, says Rashi, means a person who's choyvel b'chaver, a person who gives a patch to his fellow person, and you have to pay up to 5 different forms of tashlumin. Nezik, tzar, ripui, shevis, and boishis. We learned all about that back in Bava Kamma, I'm sure you all recall. That's what Chavolis is referring to. The Gemara is going to ask, as soon as we start the Gemara, Dine mominis means things in litigation involving mominis. Well, gezelis and chavolis involves mominis. So why do we have to repeat it? Dine mominis b'shloisha, and gezelis and chavolis b'shloisha. Aren't they, isn't gezelis and chavolis included as a subset of mominis? Mitchum will deal with that on the Amud Beis shortly. And now the mission continues. Nezik, v'chatzi nezik, tishlumi kefal, tishlumi arbo v'chamisha, all to bishloisha. Shloisha means three dayonim. Nezik, we know, if a person goes and gives somebody else a patch, that really was included in chavolos. The Gemara will talk about that as well. But we're also talking about a nezik, for instance, of a sharamuid. A sharamuid that went and gored somebody else's animal, or gored a person, or whatever, three times, becomes a shor hamud. Then you have to pay full nezik. What's chotzi nezik? The first, second, third time when the animal is still a shor tam, then you only pay chotzi nezik. And then you have tashlumi kefal. Tashlumi kefal is by a gneva. Somebody in the middle of the night steals from somebody else's house, takes it, he's a ganav, and when he repays, he has to go and pay double kefal. Same thing applies, says Rashi, if a person had a pikodin from someone else, and he took that pikodin, and the person said, hey, where's my pikodin? He's what we call a toyin tanis ganef. And he said, well, somebody stole it from me. And then it turns out that he is the one himself who stole it. He has a din of a ganef, and he has to pay tashlumi kefal. Tashlumi arbo v'chamisha is famous that if a person stole a shor v'seh, utvochoi oy mechoroi, a person stole either an axe, or a shepsalem, and after that tvochoi went and shechted it, or sold it to another party, special gzeres cost that they have to pay, 4 and 5. Arba tzayin tachas en, and 5 tachas hashar. All of those cases, were they to come in front of a bezin, the panel of bezin has to be shloisha with 3. And again, aren't all of these dinei mominis? Mishnah Gemara will address all of these. And we continue. Oynis v'mafata v'moitzi shemra is bishloisha. What's oynis v'mafata? Oynis v'mafata means if chas v'sholem a person went to a nara psula. Nara psula is talking about a young lady who's a psula who was not married, and a person is ma'anis, he forces himself onto her. Or mafata, he talks to her nicely and seduces her and convinces her, yeah, it's a good idea to go and live together. Then he has to go and pay chamishim kosef. And Moitzi Shemra is not what we normally think of. Oh, he said bad things about Yankel Beryl Shmerl. Moitzi Shemra is talking specifically about a newly married husband and wife, where in the good old days, as you remember, first you had Erisin, and Erisin is real marriage, not like today. Erisin they call engagement. We're talking about betrothed. She is his full wife. However, it's not a marriage with a capital M. It's a marriage with a small M. In which respect? That they haven't consummated the marriage, and that's called Nisuin. In the good old days, Nisuin was typically a year after the original Erisin. Of course, Erisin is an Eishes Ish. If he wants to sever the relationship, or she wants to, you need a get. There's no question about it. All we're saying is that it doesn't rise to the level of Nisuin because they're not intimate, they do not have relations. So what happens now? A year after they had that initial Erisin marriage, and now they do the Nisuin. And the next morning, he says to the parents of this young lady, Le'matzasi levitcha psulim. Unfortunately, we lived together for the first time, and she was not a psulim. And not only that, you know when she lost her psulim? It was between the time of the Erisin and Nisuin. She violated our trust. She violated her Eishes Ish status. She's a bad lady. And in fact, if he can bring 2 Edom that she violated, in other words, that she willingly lived with someone between Erisin and Nisuin, you have 2 Edom. She gets skila chas v'shalom. It's really heavy duty. That's the first of the Arba Mises Bezin. It's a lousy thing to get. But that's all if it's true. What happens if he brings 2 Edom? And we discover, for instance, that these are Edom Zomimim. These were not in Chicago. They were not in New York, but they were in Chicago. That being the case, then the whole thing is baloney. The case is thrown out vis-a-vis Chas v'Shalom giving her a Misa. On the other hand, now the father says, oh, sure, but sure. I'm now going to go and countersue, and I'm going to go and And what does he do? He says, this young man has been moitzi shemra about my daughter, at tzadekis. And now he's making her out to be chas v'sholom arishanta. He goes and sues the husband, and if he can prove this case, then v'onchu oisei mea kesef. Then the husband has to go and pay mea kesef for what he did. So that's a knas. You have to pay 100. So now the question is, how many dayonim do you need to go and be done the oinus and mafata, which is 50 shkolim, and the moitzi shema, which is 100 shkolim? Says Rameir b'shloisha, 3 dayonim. Tivrameir. I agree on the oinus and mafata, but I disagree with the moitzi shemra. Sorry?
Doesn't say,
sing,
oh, it's the
other line,
sorry.
No problem. When you're talking about Moitzi Shemra, then you need 23. Why 23? Because you have the possibility of Dina Nefashis. What does that mean? We're going to see later in the Mishnah that 90% of the cases, it's all 3 Dianim, 3 Dianim, 3 Dianim. But when you talk about Dina Nefashis, Dina Nefashis means that the subject matter of the litigation is that this person might be deserving of Misa Chas V'Sholem. For instance, there are two Edom that said that he violated Shabbos B'Mezid, and therefore he should go and get Misa. Or you have two Edom that said he was Megala Aroyas. He lived with an Eish Ish. He lived with one of the family members, which is incestuous. Or you're talking about he's being accused of murder Chas V'Sholem. Any of those types of cases where if he is found guilty, chas v'sholem, he loses his life. Those are called dinei nefashes, and that you have to have a bezin of 23. Where do we take that 23 from? We're going to have that on the bottom of the amud. All we have now at this time is a chacham say the moitzi shema should also have 23. Why? Moitzi shema, the whole litigation, the whole subject matter is to go and get paid the 100 shkolim because of the fact that he lied about his wife. What's a dina fashis? Because what happens if, in fact, the husband is right and the kala and her parents are wrong? He wasn't moiti shemra. What he said is true. It's emes v'yatzev v'nochem v'kayim v'yosher. Unfortunately, she sinned. And she sinned between the eris and the nisuin when she was an eishes ish. She deserves to get skila. Therefore, instead of having two separate litigations, two separate things, if the husband is the one that comes into Bezdin, or it's the parents that come into Bezdin, automatically get a tribunal of 23, since the subject matter could ultimately decide one way or the other. One way is, chas v'sholem, she loses her life. The other way is that he may have to go and pay the 100 shkolim, or it might be a stalemate, you don't have enough.
The way is that the agent was on him. And they're
chayav mita. Also could be, exactly. Everything that you're saying is correct. So therefore, says Tehidacham, get 23 to start off with, so we shouldn't have problems later on. We won't have to start the whole litigation again. Just do 23. Malkis mishloisha. What happens if a person did an aveira where you get malkis? Most lavin are machayev malkis. And therefore, for instance, if a person eats ashik chazer, he's not allowed to, and there were Edom and Hasra. Mister, do you know that you're going into a non-kosher restaurant, you're eating chazarai? Yeah, it's okay. It's not the first time today. You know, I was there for breakfast already. So he does it, amaze it, and they're Edom. Then he gets Malkis in Bezin. So how many Dayanim do you need to go and officiate at such a Din Torah? Does he get Malkis? Doesn't he get Malkis? You have to have 3. B'shem Shmuel Omro, B'Esr Mushloisha, you need 23. Wow, 23 just for Malkis, says Rashi, Tamad Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbanon, Mefarish b'Gemara. We're going to get to it based on Psukim Yetz Hashem on Daf Yud. So another 8-9 blots until we'll discuss what's the Mokar, is it 20, is it 3 or 23. Next case, Ibra Chodesh b'Shloisha, Ibra Shona b'Shloisha. Ibra Chodesh means that, as you know, you have 12 months a year. So of the 12 months, typically 6 or more are 29-day months, and you can have another 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 months of a year, which are 30-day months, which are longer months. Aha, okay, so if you have a longer month, this cannot just be decided willy-nilly. You have to go and have Edom come, you have Shluchim that go out, and Edom that come in, and then Ram Gamliel had all different types of forms and shapes and statues to go and ask the Edom, how did the new Levana look? Did it look this size, to the right, to the left, northern, southern? until they discovered and they decided whether or not we're going to be ma'abr the chodesh or not. Now this lashon of the ibr ha-chodesh, the Gemara is going to say later on in Daf Yud, is not talking about the process of being ma'abr the chodesh, but it's rather the kiddush ha-chodesh, that eventually when the decision is taken that this is not going to be a short month, it's going to be a long month, a 30-day month. So then the Bezin is going to make an announcement, and you have to have yeah, exactly, Kiddush HaChodesh, and you have to have three Dayanim for that purpose. Ibra Shana, however, is not talking about adding a day to the month, it's talking about adding a month to the year, which, as we know, we have every 2 or 3 years. We have a Shana Ubaris. Now, all of that that we have today, of course, is based on the calendar that Hillel made a couple of years ago, because unfortunately we no longer have the Sanhedrin, the Bezin HaGadol, Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, etc. And Me'at Hashem, we will have that once again shortly. But in the meantime, at the time, nowadays we have the benefit of that calendar. But many, many years ago they didn't have that calendar, so therefore they had to decide each month. So Ibra Chodesh, when they were Makadish the Chodesh, 3 Dayanim. Ibra Shana, when they decided whether we're going to add a month or not, going to have a month, again you have to 3 Dayanim, Bishloish, Divir Ameir. Rabbi Shem Gamliel says, vis-a-vis the Ibra Shana Maschilin, Bishloish Maschilin, which means you can have 3 Dayanim sitting down together, and they start pondering, should we not? They started thinking about what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. When they think it's a good idea, they don't make a decision, but Chamisha Noisin V'Noisinin. Then they bring in 2 more Dayanim to expand the discussions, and again to ponder, is it a good idea, is it not a good idea? One of the questions, of course, is whether it's going to be too cold, is it going to be too warm, and what effect that's going to have on the agriculture. All different types of considerations. And V'Goyim M'Shiva, after the 5 have come to the decision, yes, it's a good idea to go and add a month, they themselves don't decide on their own, but they bring 2 other Dayanim, and now we have a panel of 7, and those 7 together, they decide Yod Tzinisht. We'll discuss more in detail in the Gemara. What do the 5 do more than the 3? What do we get with the benefit of the other 2? Me'etshim, we'll see all of this in the Gemara. V'yem Gomru Begimel. What happens if they didn't wait until they got another 2 or another 4? But the 3 were very confident, and the 3 on their own said, it's a dove poshet. There's nothing to discuss. We have to add a month because the way things are working out, Pesach is soon going to fall out in the middle of the summer, and Sukkah is going to fall out in the middle of the winter. It's a geitnish. And so therefore, if 3 decided on their own, even though Lichat Chilas says, Reb Shem Gamliel is supposed to have 7, Gomer Gimel is Mubers. The reason why our Mishnah refers to the Kiddush HaChodesh as Ibur HaChodesh, we'll see much from the Gemara in Daf Yud, because since Ibur HaShana means Taka Ibur, to be Ma'abr the Shana, you need 3 or 7. So therefore, yes, to Loshen Noifal HaLoshen, we say Ibur HaChodesh, but really means the Kiddush HaChodesh, that 3 Dayanim are the ones that say, as you said before, Mekudesh HaChodesh. And now we continue on. Smichas Zikenim. Smichas Zikenim, Rashi learns, and that's the Poshet Pshat in the Gemara. It's talking about you're bringing a par helem dovah shel tzibur. What's a par helem dovah shel tzibur? Normally, if a person is oiver an aveira b'shogeg, and he does it on his own, in other words, not 20 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, one person did a mistake. What type of mistake? He went into the supermarket and he bought what he thought was kosher shuman. Shuman is fat. And then it turned out that it was chaylev. Ay, 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 ay. On chaylev you get kareis, chas v'sholem, and ichrisa. And if the person did it b'shoik, he has to go and bring a karbin, chatos. What do you bring for karbin chatos? Either a kizba or a seira. Kizba means a young lamb, and a seira means a young goat. One of those 2. You have a choice. That's only if you have 1 individual that sinned. What happens if the Bezin HaGadol, the Sanhedrin, came out and said, Rabbi Isai, you know this fat that you can find in the middle of the stomach of the animal? We have done the research, we've decided that this is kosher fat, and everybody's allowed to eat it, and by the way, it's delicious, it's gishmak, it's wonderful. So, of course, all the companies immediately did major advertising, this is the fat, and the fat has no calories, and it has no carbohydrates, because it's a diet, and it's a gibaldic, and it's good against obesity. It's, anyway, within 2 weeks, 60% of Klal Yisrael ate from that new fat. And then a Groyser, Rosh Hashiva, or scientist, or both, comes to the Bezin HaGadol and says, Are you sure what you said? What do you mean, are you sure? Let me show you based on this, that, and the other thing. And he's able to convince them that they made a big, big obo. So now, normally you'd say, well, everybody that ate from the fat has to bring a kizbos ira because they were chote b'shogeg on something that has a din of kores b'mezen. However, because it's what we call par helim dover shel tzibur, means that it doesn't have to be the entire tzibur. It has to be at least roiv of klal Yisrael sinned. In the sexless. Oh, very good. So David points out that in fact there's a Gemara, both in Hoyrius and Tomid, where it says that not necessarily do you have to welcome aboard.
Shai, we try to hold the class for you.
Now you know why we needed to bring more Gemaras.
I'm very grateful.
Okay, no
very
problem.
Very grateful for your.
It's okay. You have a choice between one or the other. How are you?
I texted you.
Okay.
Make sure that you'd be here.
Bill is on the email list. Consider here, there, whatever.
In case he missed it.
Okay.
I almost seen you over there, so you have the right orientation.
Anyway, getting back to what we are discussing. So the
Helm Dovashel Tzibur.
Good. But you have a par Helm Dovashel Tzibur. You don't need that every individual Jew in Klal Yisrael brings a kizbos ira. The Bezen HaGadol brings one big par for everybody. And what do people say about that par? They say, holy cow! One for the entire Klal Yisrael. And David was pointing out...
A she-cow or a he-cow?
It's a he-cow. David was pointing out a minute ago that this din of roiv tzibur doesn't necessarily have to mean roiv, you take if all Klal Yisrael is the marshal 20 million people. It doesn't have to be 10 million and one. You can also go basa roiv shvatim. How many shvatims sent? Now when it comes to roiv shvatim, do you need the roiv in each shaven or not? Anyway, that discussion goes beyond the four corners of today's Gemara, and I don't even think it's going to be taught later on in Sanhedrin, because you have Kimoris and Hoirius that discuss that at great length, and there are two or three or four different Mandiyamrim that have different opinions on that. But the point of all of this is that it's the Tzibur that brings one huge carbon. Now, we know that when a person brings a carbon, they're supposed to do smicha on the carbon. To smicha, putting your hands on the head or the body. It's also machlaikis. It has to be kol gufoi, kol koichoi. Again, that's beyond the discussion here. The point is, since it's the Bezen HaGadol that messed up, and they were the one that said, yo, this chaylev is delicious, it's kosher, it's fine. And now they realize they made abubu. So how many zakenim do you need to do the smicha on this par? Says our Mishnah, is a machlaikis. Reb Shimon says three is enough, and Reb Yehuda says you need five. As we'll see Reb Yehuda in the next line. That's Smicha Zekenim. We're going to have another pshat later on. The Smicha Zekenim means that if a person wants to get Smicha, not Smicha like you get today at a yeshiva or any rav that gives Smicha, but the Smicha Zekenim that they used to give in the good old days in Eretz Yisrael, to give a person the status of being a dayan that can go and sit on Batei Dinim and decide cases, be a mumcha, all that. So how many zakenim do you need to give that smicha? You have to have a minimum of three or five. Mitchell will see all about that later in our Masechta. Varifas Egla. Everybody knows what Rifas Egla means. In Chas V'Sholem, ki motzi cholol bo adama. You find Nebuch, a Jew that was killed in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere, and you have no idea who the Rotzeach is. Okay, so you put the Mishtara, you put the police and the FBI and the Mossad on the case. But in the meantime, there's a dead person. Okay, obviously you have to go and bury the dead person. But what else do you need to do? So the Torah says if you don't know who the Rotzeach was, at least initially, what you should do is have Zekenim coming from the Bezen HaGadol of Yerushalayim to that Mokoyim, Umadidu, and they have to go and measure the closest city or town from where they found the mess. And wherever that closest town is, after doing the Medida, Medida means the measuring, after doing that, that town has to go and bring a special egla, not as a carbon, you do an arifa, arifa is a decapitation, and then the local zakenim have to go and say, Yodeinu l'shofchos adam hazeh, ve'inenu l'ro, kapa li'amcha Yisrael, etc., etc. There's a whole ceremony, if you will. So the question is, how many zakenim do you need to leave Yerushalayim for purposes of doing the medida from the mess to the closest town, the closest city? Says our Mishnah, said Reb Shimon, three dayanim. You don't have to have all the dayanim, only three. It's a machloikis, we'll see a braisa that says differently, but our Mishnah says that Rosh Hashanah, three is enough. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, chamishi, you have to have at least five zakenim, number one, to do the smicha on top of the head of the animal, when you have the par helim davish l'tzibur, and you need five for purposes of the medida for the arifas egla. Yes, Rabbi Newman.
Why do you need zakenim from Yerushalayim and not just zakenim from the local towns?
That's a very, 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 very good question. Let's see.
It's in the Parsha Shoftim.
Parsha Shoftim?
In the Parsha Shoftim.
Right before Parshas?
It's in there, but of course it's one.
You need to find them. Thank you for raising the issue. So let's go to the end of Parsha Shoftim, before Parsha Kisei. Oshteto. Ki matze chol bo adama. You find Nebuch a dead body. Nebuch, three times Nebuch. I have no idea. Your zakenim and your shoftim have to go out. And they have to go and do a medida, a measuring. The one that's the closest after they do that measuring. And they have to bring this eglas bakar. So now the question is, who are these? So we're going to look in the Heidegger Rashi. Zokrashi, miyuchodim shib zakenecha, the outstanding, unique zakenim. Elu Sanhedra gedoyla. These are Sanhedrin that have to come from Yerushalayim all the way local to do that medida. When they're finished doing the medida, they then say, lehitraot, sayonara, zat gezint, goodbye, and they go home.
What is Rashi's source for that?
Rashi's a Gemara in Soitan, Mem Dalet. So now the Gemara, the pasuk continues on. The city that's closest to the cholol, the local zakenim, they have to take the eglas bakar. So therefore, there are two groups of zakenim. The zakenim that came all the way from Yerushalayim, they did the medida, they're finished, they go home, and now the town that has the is closest to the cholol has to have these zakenim bring that eglas bakar. What do you mean, Rov?
There's a bigger city there.
Rov and Karov. Okay, yeah. All right. That's a separate story. Now, how do I know that we're talking over here by Medida? Maybe we're talking about the Arifa Segla. In other words, maybe that the local Sakenim that have to do the Arifa, maybe that's referring to three. So if you just hold on to the Daf for a moment and go to Daf Yud Dalid Amid Aleph, Yud Dalid Amid Aleph, you'll see the top Toysviz. Arifas Egla Begimel. Everybody see the top toys, Arifas Egla, Zok toises. Arifa Lavdavka. We don't mean Arifa. We mean the Medida. Who the Havi Begimel? Kidnan Beperek Egla Rufa in Saita. Can we bezen Hagodush Yushalayim? Ho you, Yoitzin? Etc. Imagine we'll discuss this in greater detail in Daf Yudalit, but just for our purposes now, if somebody asks you, Arifas Egla means three, does that mean the Yerushalayim rabbis you need three, or the local rabbis? And you tell me Yerushalayim rabbis, the Sanhedrin, they send three to do the Medida to determine which town is the closest. And from there, then we have the local rabbis bringing the local Egla for decapitation. Divrib Shimon, Rabbi Chamisha, five. Why one holds three, why one holds five? Mechem the Gemara will bring psukim rayas to each one. Now we continue on. Hachalitza v'hamiunin b'shloishim. Chalitza, we all know, means that you have a yavam and yavama. A yavam is a case, Nebuch, where a husband passed away, leaving no children, or rachmana litzlan. And now there's an almana. Normally an almana, okay, she's free to marry anyone and everyone. Oh, no, she can't marry anyone. If there happens to be a surviving brother, or in her case, brother-in-law, surviving brother of the person who passed away, surviving brother-in-law to her, so either they can do yibam, or if they decide not to do yibam, they do chalitza. The chalitza ceremony we know is described in the Torah, that has to be done in front of a panel of three dayanim. V'hamiyunin. Miyunin is a din d'rabbanan, which is, typically, a father has the right to go and marry off his daughter, the ktana, because it says in the pasuk, is beaten osat l'ishazeh, he can marry her off. What happens if there is no father, chas v'sholem, he passed away? There's also something known as Yisayim b'chaya av, but that's not for today. Then what happens to this young girl? So who's going to marry her off? So you would normally think, okay, let her play, and she's a ketana. We're talking about a young girl. However, the Chacham allowed the mother or the older brother to mekadesh her a kedushin derabbanan. And because it's kedushin derabbanan, the same rabbi said that what happens if she is not happy with her husband, the one that was chosen by her mother or the older brother, she can refuse to stay with him. And that's the lesson of miyun, to be mimma enes. I refuse. I don't want to stay with him anymore. Shinginuk. I already had enough problems with him. She's allowed to be ma'enis until the age of bas mitzvah. There's one man diyama that says has to be roiv of the seir as machasah, the roiv down below. But poshut is, it's a din of once she gets 12 years old and she has shnei simonim, from that point on she can no longer be min ma'enis. But until that point she can. And she just has to declare, I'm finished with this guy, Yankel Smith, shengenuk, I'm out of here. She has to make that proclamation in front of three rabbis, and we're done. That's what the Mishnah says. Aminun
b'shloishim. So that's not only true of her father.
If the father married her off, it's a kedushin d'oraisa, and the only way that she can leave her husband if she gets a get, or if chas v'shalom her husband or she passes away. But miyun doesn't work. It only works by kedushin d'rabbanan of the mother or the older brother. But if the father did it, then you have to have a get. What happens if a person is a farmer and he has a wonderful field out in Tel Aviv and Bnei Brak and Haifa, whatever it is? So four out of every 6 year period before Shemitah, right? Shemitah is always year number seven. So year one and year two, and then year four and five, besides having to give truma to the Kohen and Maser to the Levi, you also have to go and give, not give, you have to be Mafrish Maser Sheni and take it up to Yerushalayim. But what happens if it's a huge, huge load? You happen to be, Baruch Hashem, a wealthy farmer, and you have 10,000 bushels of wheat for Maaseh Sheni to take up to Yerushalayim. You have to hire three or four or more U-Haul trucks just to take it to Yerushalayim. So the Torah says, what happens? Kiyirchak mimcha mokoyim, and it's kiloy suchal se'esoy. You cannot carry all of this. It's just too heavy and it's too much of a burden. So what you can do, if it's arta kesa biyadcha, you can go and be poda all of that master sheni onto money. Now what happens if ein dom of yiduin? What means ein dom of yiduin? Says Rashi, it's talking about a situation where he has this master sheni lying around already for a while, and some of it is beginning to rot, and therefore it doesn't have your normal shar shebashuk, meaning normally, just like you have even today in the Wall Street Journal, you have a list of all commodities, how much you can go and get for gold, for silver, for this, for that. Bitcoin. So, sorry?
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, exactly. So they had also presumably the equivalent for wheat and for barley and for this and whatever. However, if the produce is beginning to rot, then you didn't have a set shar shebashuk. So you have to have three appraisers, a bezin that comes together and says, this is how much it's worth. And therefore, if you pay this amount, you can go and be poed to the Maaseh Sheni, leave the Maaseh Sheni here in Tel Aviv and eat it, gesunt eid, and you just take the money up to Yerushalayim. Now, the same thing applies to netter revai. What's netter revai? Netter revai is that anytime you go and plant brand new peiros, whether it's a fig tree or whether it happens to be a date tree or whatever, for the first 3 years it has a din of orla. Orla, it's totally, not only now that I eat it, you're now that I have a no'ah, awesome. Year number four, then you are allowed of Hanoah, similar to Maaseh Sheni, that you have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. What happens if I just have so many figs and so many dates, I can't schlep them all to Yerushalayim? Again, you can go and be poed to them. But what happens if you don't know how much they're worth? Because unfortunately, the figs and the dates are starting to spoil, they're starting to rot. You ask the Bezdin of three, they'll decide, oh, for this amount you have to pay $1,000. You're poed to all of that. Now you can eat and sell and use the Netter Revai or the Maaseh Sheni locally, and you take the money up to Yerushalayim. And what do you do with the money in Yerushalayim? You cannot use it to go and buy art scroll gemaras. It has to be used to eat food, to buy food. You can buy karbanas, which you're going to use for food, like a karm shlom, but you use it for food. And then we continue on. Shet Mishnah Vayta. V'hegdei shoyis b'shloisha. What means hegdish? This is a very similar concept. A person was maktish something for the Beis HaMikdash. It was Makdash, for instance, this table for the Beis HaMikdash. And now the Gizbar says, are you interested in being poited? Okay, I'll be poited. How much do you want for it? I don't know. This is not a brand new table, but it seems to be a pretty strong table. It's holding up all of these Gemaras and all these people. So who's going to decide how much it's really worth? Bishloisha, you have a bezna, a panel of three, you decide what the amount is, and then you have to be, then you can be poded, and then the table will no longer be Hegdish, then it'll be Chulin once again. And now we get to Erchen HaMetaltelin, Bishloisha. That means Erchen HaMetaltelin. We all know what Erchen is. Erchen is a very, very particular rule that if a person says about himself or about somebody else, Erki Olai or Erech Ploini Olai, Erech means the value, but it's not the same as Domim. When it comes to Domim, if a person says Dmei Ploini Olai, then you have to figure out how much is that Ploini worth. For instance, on the slave market, if you have a brilliant Eved, he might be worth $1 million. And if you have an Eved who's a Groyser Shlemazel, he might be worth $10. So when it comes to Domim, you could have a great discrepancy. But when it comes to Erchen, the Torah says, I don't care how bright, how small, how tall, how short. That's not what we look into. We only look at the gender and the age. If it's until 6 months, it's one price. From there, if it goes until 5 years, and from 5 years to 20 years, and 20 years to 60 years, and over 60 years. And the same thing for females, the same age brackets, but they're different amounts. So you look it up in the Torah. If the person said, Erech Ploini Olai, you say to Ploini, hey, what's your date of birth? Well, it's none of your business. Well, yeah, tell me, ungefähr, how old are you? In the 20s. Okay, in 20. Fine. So I know it's between 20 and 60. I know it's male. What happens if he goes and checks off unknown? Vaselnish. But if you do know.
Pronouns?
Okay. Whatever it happens to be. So there, an erech is very, very simple for that. You don't need a bezin. You just read in the chumash, whatever the amount is. But what happens if a person doesn't say erech ploini olai? He says erech metaltelin olai. In other words, he looks at this chair and he says, I want to give the erech of this metaltelin, of this table, of this chair. What he's really saying is, Devarim betalim mevutalin lo sharin v'lo kayamin. There is no such thing as the erech of a metaltelin. You only have an erech of a person. However, this is the famous Rameyer. The Rameyer says, ein od moitzi devarim levatala. When a person says something, he doesn't mean just to go and say idle chatter. I guess that was in the time of the Chazal. I don't know if it still applies today. I know a couple of people that sometimes do engage in idle chatter. Not too many people, but once in a while. Anyway, but the point is that if you say Erech Metaltelin, since it doesn't have any clear meaning, we are going to assume that the person sincerely meant to do something, and we're going to substitute his word Erech as if he said Demei, and he has to pay the value of the Metaltelin. That's one pshat anymore. The most another pshat is that if the person says Erech Ploini Olai, and now he has to pay Lemoshel 50 shkolim, and he has no cash, and he has no real estate, but he has a bunch of metaltelin. He has a bunch of tables and chairs, he has some jewelry, he has boxes of tissues, whatever. So then the bezdin has to decide how much are all of these metaltelin worth. We get 50 shkolim together, and that's what he'll pay for his Erech that he made, that pledge, he said Erech Olai. So that's the metaltelin. So two different pshatim and erech metaltelin. Either you said the erech of metaltelin, or you're trying to pay the erech by paying metaltelin. In both cases, you need shloisha. You need three dayan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, echad mihen koyin. It's not enough to have three. One of the three has to be a koyin. How do I know it has to be a koyin? So Rashi already brings, because it says in that parasha ke erkecha ha koyin lo yeh. So we see from this that a koyin has to be involved in the appraisals and in the assessment. So one of the, doesn't have to be all three, one of the three. Markar Kois.
Does the Kohen bring that the other two
Megiyas
can't add to the
It's a Gzeris HaKosev. In other words, this Kohen may be the greatest appraiser known on the face of the earth. He might also be a Gzeris HaShoyta. But if he's a Kohen, he is eligible to be one of the three that does the erkin of the metaltelin. There is a Torah requires that a kohen be involved. Obviously, the bezin is going to try to get a person who is gifted and knows who's talented and knows what he's doing, not just to go and take any fool. But the fact of the matter is, one of the three has to be a kohen. The other two can be levim, yisraelim. Makes no difference.
It says this is Rabbi Huda. That's not. It feels like the Tanakhama
doesn't require that.
It doesn't require it.
That's correct.
Rabbi Huda is responding to the Tanakhama.
It's 100% right. So if you're not happy about this about kohen, so you go like the Tanakhama. Right? What does that mean? What happens if you're taking the appraisal not of metaltlin, but you're taking the appraisal of karka? For instance, a person was maktish a karka. I own a piece of property, a corner, 91st Street, Western Avenue. Was maktish it to the gizbar for the base of Middish. And now I want to be poided. So how do we know what the proper appraised value is? Now you have to have 9 appraisers, and in addition to that, 1 koyin. Where do we get this 9 plus 1 koyin? So Mechem will see in the Gemara, because in the parasha that deals with person being maktish, a karka, and now trying to be poided, the word koyin appears 10 times. So if it's 10 times, you should have to have 10 koyhanim.
Right.
But the Gemara says, ein ribay achar ribay el lamayit, the fact that Zari keeps on repeating koyin, 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 that means that you don't need a koyin. No, you do need a koyin, you don't need a koyin. And therefore you need 1 koyin at the end. But since it says 10 times you have to have a person to be marech, to go and appraise it, you need 10 altogether, 9 regulars and 1 koyin. The Gemara will also speak about the question of bezin shokel. Bezin shokel is, we don't want to have an even numbered bezin, because then you can have 5 and 5. 5 will hold one way, 5 the other way. And Mechem will get to all of that in the Gemara.
Is this a continuation of Rabbi Yehuda?
No, this is everybody. Everybody. Everybody agrees. We have full agreement to have a ach v'shalom v'reis, total brotherhood, total love between one and the other. No machlekes whatsoever. The Adam ki oitzben, the same thing applies to Adam. What does that mean? That if a person is maktish, for instance, himself, lehegdish, and now he wants to be poid himself from hegdish, you also need 10 people, 9 plus 1. Rashi already points out, I never heard of something like that. You need maktish a person. How could that be?
Maybe
that would be the Gemara's answer. Rashi just says, wait for the Gemara and daf tezvav. Exactly. We'll see Mitchem when we get there. But that's the din. You're going and being mechal, not mechal, but if you're being poda, when it comes to metalklin, it's 3. When you're talking about karka, or you're talking about odom, then you need 10, 9 plus a koin. Okay, let's go back to dinim. We said before, dinim mamenes v'shloisha, dinim nefashes b'esrim u'shloisha. Anytime that person, chas v'sholom, is being brought up on criminal charges,
capital charges,
which means Shabbos, or violating Avodah Zarah, or Ritzicha, all those wonderful things, where if chas v'sholom, we find that this person violated, he gets one of the Arba misses, Bezin, you have to have a Bezin of 23. Where do you get this from? We'll see on the bottom of the Amid in another couple of minutes. Now, haroiva v'hanirva b'esra mishloisha. What's a roiva nirva? Roiva nirva means if you have a person who is unfortunately absolutely deranged and he lives together with an animal. The roiva is referring to the male animal that's living with a woman. The nirva is referring to a female animal who's living together with a man. When we're talking about the animals, we're not talking about the people. The people already said, Adam kiyot, the Adam din nefashes, be'esra mishloisha. That already covered. We're talking about the animals now. Says the Tanakhama, says our Mishnah, even the animals you need 23. Why? What do you need 23 for an animal? Shinemet says, the possible rakta esra isha v'es ha-behema. This is talking about when an isha lives with a behema. In other words, the behema is the roiva animal. So the Torah puts the two together, so we have a hekesh, just like the Isha requires 23, the Behema also requires 23. The Oyman, I have another part of this, a Behema Taharoigu. Now this is talking about the other way around, where the animal happens to be the Nirva. For those of you that have the Torah or Hashalim, you see the Pasuk 2 starts off, the Isha Sheyitain Ish Shedchavti Behema Mois Yumas, that's a Behema Taharoigu. So we're talking about that the Behema is in the Nirva position. So once again, you have the Isha and the Behema, 23. Shor HaNiskel be Esra Mishloisha. What's a Shor HaNiskel? We talked about that briefly before, that you have a Shor that, for instance, went and killed a person. It doesn't have to be 3 times, even the first time. A Shor kills a person. 23 have to judge that this Shor should be stoned. So when you need, not stoned because he drank too much schnapps or something like that. We're talking about that the Shor went and killed someone. Even the first time the Shor Tom killed someone, gets skila. Shenemar. How do I know 23? The shor gets skila, and the balam also get misa. Now this pasuk, by the way, is not talking about a shor tam, it's talking about a shor mu'ud. But bottom line is, it says the shor gets skila, and the balam get misa. But that's not really the case, because the pasuk right after that says, im koifer yushas olav. You do not give misa to the balam, but he pays koifer. Oh, so why does the pasuk say v'gam olav yumas? Why don't you say shor yisakel, stam? And then it should say about the Baalim, he has to pay koifer. The fact that it says the Kambal of Yuma, say, learn again a Hekish, just like Bal of Yuma, you need 23. Shari Yisakul, you need 23. Kamisa Balam, Kach, Misa Sashar. Good.
I point out how relatively unusual it is for the Mishnah to include the Midrash Halacha itself.
Mm-hmm. You mean with the Pesukim?
Not only once, it does it take me three or four times in this Mishnah.
I agree with you. If you can find me a good reason, I'm happy to listen. And now the Mishnah continues on. The Torah always talking about a shor that gores an individual. What happens if you have a chaya ro'a, like a ze'ev, that's a wolf, ari, a lion, doiv, a bear, nomer is a leopard, bardalus. What's a bardalus?
A weasel.
Rashi says a bardalus is a chayehi. It's a chayehi. He doesn't identify which one. However, the Surah Zashah says, wait another few blot, we'll see that's going to be a machloikis. Rashi and
the famous polecat.
Polecat, okay. But it's a machloikis, exactly what it is, Mitch, and we're going to discuss this in greater detail later on. For those of you that have the Ches, is it Ches? Yeah. You see, Ein Toises Erechim? No, that doesn't sound right. Aitoma. There's another, what is this? Oisel here, it looks like a Tuf or a Ches. Tuf, is it Tuf? Ein Toises Yontif. Oh, okay. Really should be an Aleph. We have over here.
Rashi says that a Bardalus is a skunk.
Skunk. Oh, very good. Do you see the first wide line of the Rashi down below? This is Bardalus, right? All the way at the end of the line. Second wide line. Second, I'm sorry. Chayi. Next to the Chayi, there's an Aleph. And that Aleph takes you to the Masoris Hashas, not the Aleph all the way on the top, but an Aleph towards the bottom, because we went through Tuf, and now we're the second time Aleph. Can you imagine? So about five lines before the end. Ayin hate barashah the kamon daftez vova mebeid zirimaskal Bardalus. So we see there's going to be a machloek between Rashi and Toises on Daf Tezvav. Stay tuned to Mir Tashem another 2 weeks. We're going to deal with the definition of a Bardalus. And the same thing applies to a Nochash. Nochash, of course, is a snake. All of them, it's not just the Shor that has a din of 23. All of them, they're Misasim, Yasim, Mishloisha. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, don't think it's a Shor, Yisakal, a din of Shor. No. All wild animals. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Kalakoidim Lahar Ganzacha. If you come across one of these guys, don't bother going to Bezin. If you have a shotgun, shoot to kill. These are all dangerous guys. We're going to see in the Gemara, what did this animal do? Did this animal already kill someone? Is the animal about to kill someone? In other words, can you just go and kill an animal because it happens to be a zev or an ari or a doiv? Or do you have to know that it actually killed someone? Now you can go bang, bang. We're going to talk about this later on. Rebbe Kiva Oimer, Misosim Esra Shloisha. No, it's 23. What's the difference between Rebbe Kiva and the Tanakama? Tanakama already said 23. The Gemara is going to discuss my Ika Bain Tanakama and Rebbe Kiva. Vaita, Ein Don Elias Hashem Vleis Anovi Hashekir Vleis Koin Godel LRP Bezin Shoshim Vyachad. What are these three? Shevet, says Rashi, is when most of the Shevet unfortunately has begun to serve Avodah Zorah B'Mezid. What happens? If you're dealing just with one individual that possibly did Avodah Zorah, then that's Tin Nefashis, you need 23. But if it's Rav of a Shevet, then you have to have the Bezin of Shim V'Yachad, which means the Sanhedrin HaGadol in Yerushalayim. Well, it's Novi Sheker. Novi Sheker means that he is telling Sheker in the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Once again, you want to kill him, you got to have 71. Vileas Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Gadol who did something that a normal commoner would have to have 23, like the capital offense of Tzicha, Shabbos, Avodah Zorah, Gili Arayos. A regular normal person, you only need 23 for the Misa, like we said, Din Nefashis. If it's a Kohen Gadol, he gets an upgrade, a Bezin of 71. All of these things where the Mishnah doesn't give us the Mekoyrois, we're going to have this at length from here to Daf Yud Ches. What happens if you want a Melchemes Rishus? You wanted the king decides, we're going to go and fight against X, Y, and Z, whichever kingdom, whichever country. Then it has to be decided by 71. What's the definition of Melchemes Rishus? Rashi says, it's La'afukei, the Melchemes that Yoshua ben Nun was Koivish Klai Yisrael. That was Melchemes, mitzvah. Anything else is Melchemes HaRishus. However, the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. And the Rambam says
Amalek is also
that the Rambam says Amalek, number one, and the Rambam also says any kind of defensive Melchama. In other words, if another enemy of Klai Yisrael has started up and started shooting and started hitting and started killing and all the rest, then you don't need to go and ask
October
anybody's 7. Permission. I'm sorry?
October 7.
October 7, Simchas Torah or Shmini Atzeres, whatever, that's our oivim went to start it up with us, then you have every right to go against them. It would be, according to the Rambam's definition, a mechames mitzvah, not a mechames rishus. What happens if Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, is bursting at the seams and you want to go and expand the gvulos of Yerushalayim? What difference does it make if you expand it or not?
Ma'aser sheni, eating korbanos, shlamim, kachim kalim, ma'aser sheni.
Exactly. So you can only eat it in Yerushalayim. So what is Yerushalayim? Is it only the Ir Atika? Or does even in Me'ir Shorim can you eat it or not? So if you want to make Me'ir Shorim part of Yerushalayim in terms of that you should be able to go and eat korbanos there and eat ma'aser sheni there, then you want to be moisif on the borders of Yerushalayim. Or in the Beis HaMikdash, if you want to expand the number, the size of the Azaris, all of these has to be done al pi bezin shel shim v'yachad. The Sanhedrin HaGadol has to make those decisions. As we're going to see in Mi'at Hashem, later in the Gemara, every city was supposed, any city that had at least a certain minimum number of people had to have a bezin of 23.
It was 120?
It's a very good guess. If you want, insist on looking at it now, go to the end of the Mishnah on the third line. How much is it? Mea? And the next line says? Okay, since the Machlokes is 120 or 230 is the minimum number of dwellers, residents in the city. But when you have a city that has at least that minimum number, then you have to have a bezdin of 23 for that town, for that city. Who appoints that bezdin of 23? Who decides whether he is worthy of being a chief rabbi or not? Sanhedrin HaGoyel of the 71, they're the ones that make that decision. So, you know, it's Sanhedrin, like Shvatim. Shvatim doesn't mean Dafka Shevet, it also means a local Bati Dinim for every city. LLP Bezin Shel Yishimlech. Eino Yisin Irani Dachas. LLP Bezin Shel Shimlech. Irani Dachas means a particular city where, unfortunately, you have a Mesis or Mediach and tricked everybody to go and do Avoid Azor, or at least Roiv of the town. Then what's the din? Everybody in the city never gets killed. And the Kol Shalola Tikbait Al Toich Rechoiva, you have to go and burn all of the possessions of the people in that city, and because of the fact that Roiv of the city has done Avodah Zarah, it's an Ir Nidachas. Who decides whether it's Ir Nidachas or not, whether these guys are guilty, after Bezin of 71. Eino Yisrael Ir Nidachas Bisfar V'loi Shaloish, Aval Oysen Achas Oishtayim. We're going a little bit off on a tangent here. What it's telling us is, not every city in Eretz Yisrael can be an Ir Nidachas, if it's a Svar. Svar means it's a border city, a border town. Even if the people are doing Avodah Zarah, it does not get the status of Ir Nidachas. And the reason is, because if you're going to go and kill all the people and destroy the whole thing, then 2 days later, Syria is going to come in, Hamas is going to come in, Hezbollah is going to come in, and they're going to take over. Just look what happened last week. Syria fell, and all of a sudden, Israel took over a portion, and the Kurds, and the Turks, etc., etc. So that's why don't do it on the Svar, that border town, because then the enemies will take over. V'loi Shalosh, don't make three Ir Nidachases concurrently. One or two is okay, but not three at the same time. Why, when, where? We'll see Mechim the Gemara. Sanhedrin Gedoyla Hoysu Shoshim Miyachar. We keep referring to the Sanhedrin as 71. That's the number. We'll see in a moment why. Uktana, if you have the 23, that shall Esrim Uj Shleisha. Minan Gedoyla Shoshim Miyachar. Where does it say that in the Torah? Shenema. A Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Esvali Shivim Ish Mizikni Yisrael Ashiyadata, that they happen to be Chachom and Avoinim. And they're going to go and be Kehem Zikni on Vishoitrav. They're going to be the Bezin, the Sanhedrin. So it says, collect 70 people. And Moshe Benin, you're going to be the chief rabbi, the chief justice. So Moshe, together with 70, 70 and 1, adds up to approximately 71. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shivim, no, only 70. The Moshe Rabbeinu did not need to be included in the 70. They're on their own. I have a Bezin Shokel. And that's what we're going to have in the Gemara later on. Bezin Shokel means that it's an even number, which we tend not to wish, because then you can have 35 against 35.
Hung jury,
exactly. We already mentioned a few times 23, 23. Where do we get this from? Shenemer. It says in the Pasuk, Shoftu Eida, V'tzilu Ho Eida. We're talking about a person that Chas V'Shalom sinned. The specific Pasuk is number 5. We're talking about a Reitzeach. V'shoftu Eida Ben Hamak V'en Goyel Hadom. Al mishpatam ha'ela v'tzilu ha'ides ha'reitzeach miyad goyel ha'adam v'yishivu oisei ha'edel irak miklotoi, etc., etc. So if the guy is a reitzeach b'meizid, v'shoftu eida, go and kill him, he's a reitzeach. On the other hand, if it turns out he did a b'shoigeg, v'tzilu eida, they're going to go and save him and let him run to the Ari Miklat to save his life. So each time the Torah uses its expression, eida. So we learn from that Eda Shefetes, you have an Eda that is the Shoftim, those are the judges, Veda Matzels, and you have an equal number Eda that saves the person. Harikan, those two together, is 2 times Eda is 20. How do you know? I mean, now the Eda Shehi Asar, how do you know that Eda means 10, that 2 times 10 is 20? Shenemet says, not Amasla. Eda Roa Zoysis is talking about the Meraglim. How many Meraglim were there all together? 12. 10 of them were bad guys. Yotzi Yeshuva Kaliv, that they were good guys. So the Eda Ra means 10 out of the 12. So we see that Eda has a definition of 10. So Shoftu Eda is 10. Hitzilu Eda is also 10. So what happens now if you have, as Brother Shai said a moment ago, a hung jury that we don't know whether this person deserves to be killed or not? So you have 10 who are Shoifit. That means, yes, he should be killed. You have 10 which are Matzel. So you got 20. How do you know you get 23? It says in the Apostle, see Achi Rabim Lirois, Shemeanisha Eya Imohem Litoiv. In Kenomenem Achi Rabim Lehatois. So you have in the same Pasik, don't go after Roiv Lirois to find a person to be guilty. But the same Pasik also says, Achi Rabim Lehatois, you do go after the majority. So here it says you don't go after the majority. Here it says you do go after the majority. And then make up your mind. It says, it depends what the majority is going to decide. When it comes to be matal toiva, in other words, to find that a person is innocent, you only need to have one. So, friends, if you have 23, you got 12 that said he's innocent, 11 that says he's guilty, one decides it, and he walks. In other words, he goes free. However, if you have the other way around, 12 find him guilty and 11 find him to be innocent, that's not enough for him to go and be killed. You have to have al pishnaim, they have to be 2. In other words, it has to be, for instance, a case of 12 against 10. That will, of course, only be 22. We'll discuss that in a moment. But the point is, it has to be a majority of 2, not just a majority of 1. And that's how we end for the steer. Like, see, Acharam Leroyce, if you only have a majority of 1, no good. You have to have a majority of 2. But what you can do, Achri Rabim Lahatois, if you have 2, either Leroy, then you can decide based on 2. Or, if you're talking about Litoiva, you only need 1 to be Machria, to go and free the person. Now, we said so far, you got 22, because you have the 20, and now you have to be Machria, one for the other. You cannot have 22, because then you could have 11 and 11. So, Mizivan Alavoidach, and then you add 1 more. You have 23 altogether. Now, how do you get now 23, so based on 23, you have 12 against 11, that's litoiva. Now, l'ro'o, if you have 12 against 11, that's meaningless. You don't, the person would walk because you do not have a majority of 2. Now, the question is, when do you have a majority of 2? 13 and 10, that's true. But then you don't have a majority of 2, then you have a majority of 3. So Rashi already points out, the reason why we added the 1 is because if there was only going to be 22, then you can never find a majority of 1. Why? Because it would be either 11 against 11, or it would be 12 against 10. So you don't have a majority of 1. So after you add 1 more, so now you can have 12 against 11. That's great. But now, in the reverse, when we're talking about Lera, having 23 is not good because you cannot find the case of 2 more. Of course, you can find 3 if you have 13 against 10. But we're talking about specifically 2, because that's what the Pasuk L'Siachi Rabim Ra'ois. So Rashi really asks this, and he said, the Gemara's mentioned, I'm going to discuss this further as we get to it. Now finally, what is the minimum number that you have to have in a city to go and have the authority and the requirement to appoint a bezin of 23? The Kamiye Be'ir, Utahiru Uyil Sanhedrin, how many? Says the Tanakhama, maybe Esrim, 120. Doesn't say why. Mitchum will see that in the Gemara later on. However, in Mchemyoimar Masayim Ushloishim, 230 Keneged Sari Asaris. As you know, it's in the Torah, Sari Meyoi Sari, Sari Alofim Sari, Alofim Sari Meyoi Sari Asaris. And what is Sari Asaris? That means for every 10 you have 1 judge. So for every 10 you have 1 judge. Since we need a bezin of 23, so you have 230. So for every 10 individuals, you have 1 dayan. Another 10 individuals, a second dayan. You have 23, you have 23 times 10, so you have 230 altogether dwellers in the city, then you have a bezin of 23. If the city only holds 200 people or 220 people, according to Nehemia, no requirement to have a bezin of 23. On to the Gemara. So we started off the Mishnah. Dine Mamanis Mishlaisha. Dine Mamanis was already said. Any litigation that involves money matters as opposed to capital crimes and other things. So, and the Mishnah said right after that, Dine Mamanis Mishlaisha. Gzeilois Lachavolis is also Mishlaisha. Frey to Gemara. Dine Mamanis is such a broad term, it's such a broad and wide umbrella that certainly Mamanis includes Gzeilis Vachavolis. Because Gzeilis means that Reuven is accusing Shimon of stealing. Chavolis, Rashi said back in the Amud Aleph, that he gave a person a patch and he has to pay up to five different tashlumen. So that's all money. So why does the Mishnah have to repeat? Dine Mamanis Vishloisha. And then Gzeilis Vachavolis Vishloisha. Amr Mavo, Mahein Ketani. The Gzeilis V'chavoleis is a definition of the word Mamanis. Mahein means that put in the Mishnah after Dina Mamanis V'shloisha, put in a colon. You're wondering, what type of Mamanis? I'll tell you which type. Those which are Gzeilis V'chavoleis. Mahein Dina Mamanis, Gzeilis V'chavoleis. Comes to exclude Avil Hoidois V'halvois, lie. When you're talking about Hoidoa and Alva, that is not included. Now, first of all, what does Hoidoa v'halvo mean? Halvo, we all know what it means. Reuven lent money to Shimon. Shimon borrowed money from Reuven. That's a halva. Hoidoa is when one of the two parties is moide, whether he's moide b'miktsas or whether he's moide b'kuloi, when one of the two parties agrees to the other party. That's called hoidois. So now when you have hoidois v'halvois, what's the status over there? That is not included in Dine Mamanis Bishloisha. The only thing that is included is Gzeilis Vachavolis. So you're wondering to yourself, so how is Hoidois Vahavolis different? Does that mean they only have one or two Dayanim? Does that mean you have to have 10 or 18 Dayanim? We're going to answer that question in another 10 lines. But in the meantime, what the Mara is telling us is the word Dine Mamanis Bishloisha, put a colon or put an equal mark. What type of Mamanis are we talking about? We're talking solely regarding Gzeilis v'chavolis, we're not talking about in Yone Halva, where they're having a dispute, or there's a partial agreement regarding how much is owed between Reuven and Shimon. Zuk tomorrow tzricha. Why do I need both? Let it just say, Dine Mamanis b'shloisha. Or let it say, Dine Gzeilis v'chavolis b'shloisha. Utzricha. Itana Dine Mamanis alone, have a menafilu, haidores v'alvois. Because the word mamanis is a generic term, refers to money disputes. So money disputes could include not only gzeilis v'chavolis, but also hoidois v'halvois. That's why the Mishnah has to say, no. Ton gzeilis v'chavolis. Those are the only ones that we're talking about when we say, dini mamanis v'shloisha. What mamanis? Gzeilis v'chavolis. V'itan gzeilis v'chavolis, if we'd only say, if we'd start our mesechta, dini gzeilis v'chavolis v'shloisha, like toni dini mamanis, have a minahu adin da filo hoidois v'halvois. I would think hoidois v'halvois are in the exact same category as gzeilis v'chavolis. So why did it only identify and isolate gzeilis v'chavolis? Why didn't it say gzeilis v'chavolis hoidois v'halvois? Shem de ikar gemel dechsivi b'gzeilis v'chavolis ksivi. Because how do we know that a bezin is a bezin of three? Maybe a bezin of one, of two, of four, of five, of 12. How do we know Davka 3? Says Imor, because I have a pasuk by Gzeilis v'chavolis. Ksivi b'gzeilis, it says, Dechsiv, v'nikrav ba'al habayis elu alihim, imle sholach yodei memelechus riayim. This is talking about a case of gezel. What's the gezel? That I left a pikadon with a shoymer, and instead of the shoymer giving it back to me, he steals it from me. He's a gazlan. And the Torah says, if there is that type of dispute, the nikra balabais elohim, you have to come to the Elohim. What means Elohim? Says Rashi. Elohim over here doesn't mean the Almighty God, because then we would say Elohim. We wouldn't say Elohim. But rather, Elohim is referring to someone who is in the status of having sarora or rabbanus, meaning that he has an authorized status of being higher than the others, so to speak. And that's, we're talking about a dayan. He's hired because he's the one that's going to decide whether Reuven or Shimon owes money or doesn't owe money. Who are you to go and decide? Oh, I have to be the Elohim in this situation. And therefore, he has to be an Elohim. He has to be a dayan. And it says the word Elohim three times. Although the Gemara only quotes one time, the Nikra Balabais Elohim. However, the Psukim Vayter in the same parasha, you have the next pasuk, it says two more times. Where does it say two more times? So here on the Gimel Amid Beis in the Torah or Sholim in number two, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, Al Shor Al Chamor, Al Se Al Salma, Al Kol Aved Asher Imrik Yuze, Adu Elihim Yobi Dvar Shneim, Asher Yashiyun Elohim Yishalim Shneim. Oh, it says three times Elihim back to back in these two psukim, and for the three times it says Elihim, I learn you have to have three Dayanim. Three Dayanim. Now where does it say this? It all says it's the Gabe, a shomer who is stealing a pikadon. So that's one of the definitions of the word gzeilis. But you're telling me that I need three for gzeilis and chavolis. Chavolis, how do I know chavolis requires three? Well, that's a svara. Mali chavol begufay, mali chavol b'mamayna. Madach, the person is attacking and challenging the other person's money. So certainly if he's challenging and he's attacking that person's guf, you have to have at least a minimum of three. Aha. So now, it says in this pasuk, so getting back, the Gemara says, if it would only say Gzeilus v'chavolis, and it would not say Dinei Mamonis b'shloisha, I might have thought that Gzeilus v'chavolis is lav davka, but in fact, it's not only Gzeilus and chavolis, but also the other two, hoidois v'halvois. And therefore, the Mishnah has to go and say, oh, Tana, mahein Dinei Mamonis, Gzeilus v'chavolis, avodos halvois loy. That's why the Mishnah has to repeat. It has to start off dinim mamonis b'shloisha. What are the dinim mamonis? We're talking about gzeilus v'chavolis, but only gzeilus v'chavolis, and not hoidois v'halvois. Great tomorrow, ulamayin. Now that you told me already 12 times in these last couple of minutes that when it's a shloisha, it's only hoidois. I'm sorry, it's only gzeilus v'chavolis, only gzeilus v'chavolis, only gzeilus v'chavolis, but not hoidois v'halvois. So what means and not to do for voice? It doesn't need three. Ulamai, ilamit libin in shloish, you don't need three. Va'omer Rebavo. Rebavo said, shnaim shadonu dinim mamonis. If two people went and did adin teira, the divyakol ain't dinim din, it's worthless, it's gunish mit gunish, you have to have always three. So, obviously, we're talking about including hoidois v'hal voice, it requires three. So, Ibazoi, what are you telling me that the Mishnah says three twice? But not hoidois v'halvois. I see very clearly that hoidois also needs three. When it says in the Mishnah, dinim mamonis v'shloisha means three. Mumchem means experts. People are specialists. Very good. However, that comes lafuke, head yoitois. What it's telling us when you're talking about hoidois v'halvois, for that you don't need the greatest experts. You can even have regular people. Obviously, they have to have a certain degree of common sense and business sense about it. We're not talking about fools and idiots. But they don't have to be the specialists and the great experts. So, Kimar, Mike Kosover, where did they come from? Why is that the case? Why by Gzeilus v'chavolis and not by Hidoas? Hidoas the halvois. Mike Kosover. Ikosover, Iriparshis Kosov Khan, Liboy Nami Mumchen. Ikosover, Ein Iriparshis Kosov Khan, Shloishal Amali. What's Gemara's kasha? Because we find something which is very, very interesting. By the case of the shoimer, when we go and ask him, hey, where's the pikadon? The pasuk says, ad shoimer ki huzeh, ad olhim yovid vashneim. So he used the expression, ad shoimer ki huzeh. And the Gemara dashim's ad shoimer ki huzeh, that's the makor for moide b'miktsas. Now the din of moide b'miktsas normally applies to a loan. Person says, you owe me $100. I don't owe you $100. I only owe you $50. Ah, since he said, he has to make a shvur in front of Besen. What happens if you have the same thing, legabe a pikadon? A person was mafkid, he left a pikadon with a shoimer. And the shoimer says, sinishtamis. Does he also have to be moidim and mixes? And say, how much did you leave me? $100? $50 already gave you back, or you only left me $50. That would be a moidim mixas. Do you require hoidua b'mixas by a pikadon? So that's a machlekes. One man the Yoma says, Iru parshius kosov kan, meaning that these two parshius come together, and there's an overlap, even though it's not really intentional. Really, it should be two separate parshas. And therefore, what the Gemara is saying is, if you're telling me that the din of Achiyem Ki Huzeh, which is a din of Moedim Mixes, applies not only by Halva, but also in the case of a Bikadoin, so therefore you're saying, Iru parshas, the two parshas are mixed together, so then just like by Gzeilus for Chavolis, you need Mumchen, it says Elihim. Elihim means Sarara and Rabbanus Apsa Mumcha, she should have to have Mumchen over here too, by Haidois and Halvois. Because of Ein Hiru Parshiyos Kan, no, don't mix the two together, and therefore you only need a Moed of Mikzas by Halvois, but not by a Pikodin. These are two separate parallel Parshiyos. Then Oy Bazoi, then Shloi Shalomli, how do you even know that you need three? Because it doesn't say anywhere by Halvois you need three. I only learned it from the case of Pikodin, where it says three times Elihim, Elihim, Elihim. So how do you even know that you need three? Not only don't you need Mumchim, maybe you don't need three, maybe you only need two, maybe you need five. The two are overlapping each other, and the dinim that apply to Havois apply to Gzelis. The dinim that apply to Gzelis apply to Havois. The truth of the matter is, just like we need by Gzelis and Havois three specialists, three experts, you should have, every time when you have a dispute about halva, you should have to have three experts. We're going to learn about this later on in our Masechta, that if you're talking about Din Nefashis, we ask all types of very pointed questions, to the point that one man, the Yomah, says, we ask him if it was under a fig tree, what color were the figs? Exactly. Did it have this, a thorn sticking out? Was it this direction?
Uksi Tainim.
Yeah, exactly. Uksi Tainim. Exactly right. So the Drish V'Chakiris are very, very minute, and they're into minutia. That's a requirement for Dina Fashin. By Dina Mamnes, you don't have to go into that type of thing. But says Rechanin, I told you that even by Dina Mamnes, you would have to go and add answer to minutia. Shenemar Mishpat Echad Yilacham. One mishpat across the board for all types of cases, whether they happen to be money cases or whether they're capital cases, always the same din. Why takanat? Because the average malva will say, if the only way I'm going to win my case if the loiva doesn't pay is if we have to have two edim that really know every minute detail, and if they just mess up a little bit, I lose the case. What do I need this for?
No loan.
And no loan, I'm not going to lend anymore. And the same thing says Rashi, the same thing applies over here too. That if I have to have Davka three mumchen, who says I'm going to find three mumchen? You think it's so easy? Maybe in Lakewood, maybe in Bnei Brak you can find three mumchen. I'm not sure that here on the west side you can find three mumchen so easily. Not to put down the west side, we have many very chosh v'tamin nechom. But mumchen, you have to have, you know, the chief rabbis. So therefore, a malv will say, oi, 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 the loiv is not paying me back. I have to find two edim that know every minute detail from 5 years ago when the loan took place. Where exactly, where was the loan? At what time was the loan? And what hat was he wearing? A hat? Was he wearing a yarmulke? Was he wearing red pants? Was he wearing green pants? You know, tell me all the deal. I can't remember the red pants or green. I don't remember. I was vaisich. And then I have to find three mumchim. If you're going to require all of these requirements, then the malv will say, Mali the Tzara Zois, what do I need to get involved? And he won't lend any money. So bottom line is, we're going to stop right over here. They started off, why did it say Dinim Mamanis Vishloisha and Gzeid V'Chavolis Vishloisha? On Gzeid V'Chavolis, forms of Dinim Mamanis? And the answer is yes. And in fact, put an equal mark between
a semicolon,
or actually a colon. Dinim Mamanis Vishloisha, what are the Dinim Mamanis? Gzeid V'Chavolis. To come to exclude Halvois and Hoidois. Why? Here you don't need three. Yes, you need three, but you don't need three mumchem. Why don't you need three mumchem? Minatoyit, I do need three mumchem. But because of my concern, Shleitinel does with Neilavin, the Chum said, you don't need three mumchem. Even three average citizens are enough. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai Zadke Ben Zadke Zin.